I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing a safe space for the independent thinker or those who aspire to be. Today we've got Americans for Prosperity will be coming in next hour. They have been with us for weeks now talking about the Mississippi legislature. As that is wrapped up, they are focusing as a nationwide organization. Americans for Prosperity is a national organization, so they are starting to look at some national issues, including the horrific H.R. 1, first bill that the Democrats put out. So we're going to parse through that. I think that's one of their big targets nationally. I think Americans for Prosperity is a great organization and pretty effective, particularly because they have spread out amongst the states, and state by state, they are working to get people economic and personal freedom across the country. And then when these states have wrapped up their attempts to steal to steal your liberty and your money, once they've fended that off, they turn their attention to more national issues and try to stop the government from doing those things at that level. So I always encourage people to check out Americans for Prosperity. You can find them on Facebook. We'll talk about more ways you can get involved with them and support their organization if you're actually interested in doing something. If you want to just sit here and listen to talk radio all day and complain about stuff, that's easy enough, too. I've done it for years. I understand it, but they're a pretty effective group. So we'll talk to them next hour. Quotes of the day today. This is Sheldon Rickman. He says, "The more power government has to provide things, the more power it has to dictate terms." Lou Rockwell was chief of staff, I believe, to Ron Paul for quite a period of time. He's got a great website. I think it's just lourockwell.com. Puts out a blog every day and a bunch of different headlines. If you're looking for some liberty-based stuff, Lou Rockwell is really good. He says, "In any government bureaucracy, they are not working for you, but for the mythical blob called the public sector, which is really nothing but a stash of stolen cash divided among the robber class." He's exactly right. And this is one of my favorites here, particularly in light of all the COVID restrictions and this idea that the government can keep you safe. If you just give them enough power, if we just restrict ourselves enough, if we social distance, if we stay home, if we cancel schools and concerts and church services and close our businesses, we think we can beat this virus. Always the idea that we're this illusion of safety that we're seeking. Thomas Aquinas said, "If the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it in port forever." If the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it at port forever. Our lives, our businesses, our way of life is not designed to avoid all risk. It is to go out and do something. So Thomas Aquinas realized it. Speaking of your loving government, they've given you a stay of confiscation, as I would call it. Today is usually the day that they crack the whip and get you to send your federal taxes in. It's usually tax day out there, but they have decided to forestall that with the trauma of COVID because, you know, we're all just children and we need to be soothed and stroked. I never understand. We see a lot of these things, extensions that are given to people for kind of paperwork issues. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the extension should be nobody ever has to file another individual tax return ever again. That's the extension I'm looking for because I believe it is theft. But it's always interesting to me, during COVID, some of the things they've given extensions for, they forced everybody to pretty much stay home for quite a while, which means you have nothing to do. Yet something that takes time that most people don't even like to spend time on, like taxes, and there's students sometimes have had extensions on times to do things. There have been all kinds of arbitrary deadlines extended because of the, you know, this concern for everybody in their in this time of need with COVID. And I just think, well, I mean, of all the times that you've forced everybody to cancel all their social activities, shouldn't it be easier to get this stuff done? But our benevolent government, they love you dearly. They've given you a stay of confiscation. They will come and circle back around next month to hold you up. But for those of you who think it's your patriotic duty to send your tax money to Washington, D.C., because I guess you believe they're good stewards of your money, you can still send that money in today. I don't know if people know this. Just because today is not the deadline, if you're anxious and you think that it's the price you're paying for a civilized society and you want that civilized society, you are free to send in your taxes today and more. Do people know that? The people who love government and think they should take care of us and they're just a benevolent force, do you know you can send more to the federal government? But for those of you who don't really want to send your money up to the swamp, but you're just too scared of your own government. Here in America, most people are just too scared of their own government, so they send up their tribute. You know, the federal government, they're really taxing authorities everywhere, but the federal government's the most egregious, the IRS. I don't know what you do with your soul. You know, when you get a job at the IRS, is there like a locker where you keep your soul and you can take it out from? Maybe they let you walk around with it during the weekends, but anyway. They will swing by and shake you down next month, the IRS being kind of like the mafia. Hey, that's a nice little life you got there. Sure would hate to see anything happen to it. And then they just give you a form to fill out where you send up your money. So anyway, you got another month. I always do an annual tax show where I kind of talk about the history of taxation, how it started, where it is, where your money goes, the fact that it really doesn't even matter anymore. This will be an especially interesting tax year when you realize that the money that you send in has no bearing on the operation of anything. It's just a rounding error to the government. They just print up what they want now. They don't need your tax money. They take it because they can. Republicans are just as guilty of this. I think Republicans love the tax code themselves because it gives them something to campaign on to tell you that we're going to take 3% less from you this year. And they've got the Republicans to go, oh, thank you. Thank you. Under that Barack Obama, I was paying 21% in taxes. Now I'm only paying 19. God bless Donald Trump. He took 2% less from me into a wildly wasteful and fraudulent and corrupt federal government. God save Donald Trump. He took 2% less. This is where we are as a people, like Stockholm Syndrome. I'll take a quick break. I'm going to come back and there was a tremendously sad story. You know, they've paused this Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They've made it. It's going to be a period of days, maybe weeks, before they get this in here. And I'll look, the phone number here is 601-879-0002. I'm going to take a break, but you think about this. Somebody explain this to me. There have been now 7 blood clots in women with the Johnson & Johnson. One person, to my knowledge, only one person has died. Incredibly tragic. This is what happens during experimentation. You lose a few folks. So we've had 7 blood clots. One person has died. They've paused this vaccination program with the Johnson & Johnson shot. Meanwhile, the mRNA vaccinations, they have acknowledged that 2,400 people have died and over 50,000 people have reported adverse reactions. And it is full speed ahead on those. If someone can explain this to me, you've got the number. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
You know, all the time I see, like, memes will go around. Some friends will forward a meme or something to me, and when I first look at it, I just go, I don't understand. And it'll be because I've missed something. You know, maybe it was something, it was a sign, and I didn't recognize one of the misspellings. You know, I saw one the other day, some fast food chain had put up the, maybe somebody did this as a prank, but it was, you know, come in today and get your black anus burger. It was supposed to be Angus. But it took me a second. I didn't quite understand what the meme, you know. And so I'm always open to, what am I missing? And then with my friends, if I can't find it in a picture or something, I'll say, I'm not getting it. What's the deal? And then they'll point it out, and I go, okay, that's really funny. See, they've told me what I'm missing. When it comes to the vaccine stuff, I want to know what I'm missing. I'm perfectly open to the fact that maybe I'm just obtuse. Maybe I am just not the smartest guy in the room. If you were in charge of a vaccine rollout in the country, in the United States, and I came to you and I said, sir, madam, we've got two series of vaccines going out. We have one over here. We've given out 7 million doses. We have 7 reports of blood clots, and one of the people has died. And then we have another batch of vaccines over here, and it's killed 2,400 people, and 50,000 people have had adverse reactions, 7,500 of those extremely serious, requiring hospitalization. Which one should we pause? We've got 7 blood clots, 1 death, and 1, and 2,400 deaths, and about 7,000 hospitalizations in the other. Which one would you pause? You see what I'm saying? What am I missing? I mean, here is the report. This was as of April 9th. Yeah, April 9th. VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Reaction place. That's where people will go file these things. Of course, most people don't know about VAERS, so when they get an adverse reaction, they don't report it. Doctors don't automatically report it. My father died after the vaccine. I don't know if it had anything to do with it. He was 90 years old. He died a few weeks later, but I'm not reporting that to VAERS because I don't think there's honesty in doing that. I wonder, but at 90 years old and he was somewhat frail, maybe he's just ran out of time. So he's not in that statistic either. So these numbers are at least a little conservative. So according to VAERS, the vaccine safety reporting thing at the CDC, as of April 9th, there were 56,869 reports of adverse events, including 2,342 deaths and 7,971 serious injuries between December 14th and April 1st. And yet it's full speed ahead with that one. We get 7 blood clots on the other side. It's, whoa, Nelly! We got to stop this thing. Now, I'm all for them pausing it. I'm for them pausing the whole thing. But why does the 2,342 deaths at the hands of the mRNA vaccines not raise any eyebrows? Seems odd to me. But again, I could be missing something. There was a story last night of somebody on our own Gulf Coast. Really sad story. He was a 43-year-old man, I believe it was Bay Springs, had a stroke after the J&J vaccine. Within a couple of hours, went to the office, went and got the J&J vaccine because he just wanted that convenience of the one shot. 43 years old, healthy, had high blood pressure. That was his only issue. So the chances of him having a bad outcome from COVID itself were very low. A healthy 43-year-old man. But he went and took the vaccine. 3 hours later, essentially, he's stroked out. He's taken to the hospital. He's got 7 children. He currently can't talk. Half of his body is paralyzed. And they interviewed his aunt in what was just jaw-dropping, tears-in-your-eyes sadness. She said, the only thing he can do right now is when somebody new comes into the hospital room, one of his family members comes to visit him, he can cry. He starts to cry. He can't do anything else. He'll now need, they say, they're not sure exactly what will happen, but they know he needs probably at least a year of rehabilitation. This was a guy that just went to his office during his lunch break, went and got a vaccine. 3 hours later, he's in the hospital, almost in a vegetative state. Can't talk, can't walk, can't move, can't do anything, and is facing a huge uphill battle. A 43-year-old man just had a massive stroke.
And this is what goes back to this idea I've been saying. These people who just come out with this blanket statement, everybody needs to get a vaccine. There's no doctor involved. There's no intense questionnaire. There have been no studies on whether or not you're on this medication or that medication, if it makes it less efficacious or more dangerous. There's none of that. It's everybody go out and get a vaccine. And I can't imagine if I went public and said, everybody get a vaccine immediately, first one. And there's no distinguishing between which ones. They don't say, it seems like Pfizer has had the most problems. I'm going to do a little research on that because I got into a conversation with somebody last night about it. But they don't tell you, hey, looks like Pfizer's had more problems, so maybe err on the side of caution and get the Moderna shot. It looks like they're not having as many problems with that. You know, the Pfizer was the one that needed to be stored at like negative 90 degrees, and then when it became a logistic problem, just didn't feel like they could get it out fast enough, spent $3 billion on the freezers, they just came back and said, well, we take it back. You can just put it in the fridge. You can just throw it in your lunchbox. Oh, really? That's weird, because you told us it was so unstable just a couple of weeks ago that it had to maintain. You're shipping it in dry ice. There was all kinds of things about the military logistics going into shipping this thing at a sub-zero temperature, and now you just go, well, I guess it's more stable than we thought. That feels to me like a company that thought, we're never going to get as many people inoculated if we insist that everybody, every pharmacy, every drive-through, all have these massive freezers. They're never going to use our shot if we don't do that. Let's just forget about the instability of this thing. But they don't distinguish between any of these things. They just say, rush out and get your first shot. Doesn't matter who it is. And I can't imagine laying my head on the pillow last night after seeing the story of this young 43-year-old father of seven whose life has been destroyed. If I had gone in front of everybody and said, just rush out and get a shot, if I had played even a small part in telling somebody to rush out and become part of an experimented group, and they suffered that kind of problem, it would be hard for me to live with myself, but I don't have to deal with that. I thought this was maybe a good time to bring this up. I saw this morning that Scott Gottlieb, this was one of our CDC directors. He was a Trump's guy. Trump brought him in. And he's making the rounds. He's all over the media. He's almost as ubiquitous as Anthony Fauci when it comes to turning on the television and finding a air quotes here in the studio, health authority out there talking about the vaccines. He's got great concerns that we can get 150 million people vaccinated, but you know, getting to 160 is going to be tough because the younger people are really kind of, they're not really on board with jumping on these vaccines. He's very concerned. He's been hyping vaccines and all these things for quite some period of time. Again, this is Trump's guy. You know that Trump that we're supposedly drained the swamp. Let me tell you a little bit about Scott Gottlieb, just so we've got a little backgrounder on him. If you watch the news, if you listen to, air quotes here in the studio, health authorities, Scott Gottlieb was born June 11th of 1972. He's an American physician and investor who served as the 23rd commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration from 2017 to April 2019. That's Trump's term, right? He is presently a resident fellow at the conservative think tank, the American Enterprise Institute, a partner at the venture capital firm New Enterprise Associates, more on them in a second, and a member of the board of directors of drug maker, anybody, Pfizer. He's also on the board of directors of Illumina and a contributor to the cable financial news network CNBC. In 2007, Gottlieb became a venture partner in New Enterprise Associates, the world's largest venture capital firm by assets under management. Gottlieb served as an active investing partner in the firm's healthcare division. He served on the board of directors of NEA portfolio companies, including Bravo Health and American Pathology Partners. He was an independent director at Tolero Pharmaceuticals and Daiichi Sankyo Incorporated, and a member of GlaxoSmithKline's Product Investment Board, which made decisions on which drugs GSK would bring forward in development. He was a senior healthcare advisor to BDO and also a partner of T.R. Winston, a Los Angeles-based merchant bank with a focus on healthcare. That's who you're listening to. You're listening to an investor. You're listening to a Pfizer board member tell you to go out and get a vaccine. Now, these things are never disclosed. I feel like I have to do a little bit of backgrounder for people who consume mainstream media. It seems kind of important to me. I do this a lot with the defense contractors. When these guys come on, particularly who's my big target that's always on Fox? Oh, General Jack Keane. Always says under his name, retired General Jack Keane. Military, Fox News military analyst. And they've just failed to mention, or I guess they just don't have the time on 24-hour news, to use a few seconds to say, oh, and he's also on the board of directors of AM General and United Technologies. He sits on the board of about four different defense contractors. They don't tell you that. They just say he's a Fox News military analyst, retired general, and Fox News viewers lap it up with a spoon when he tells you that we just can't withdraw from there, or we need to commit more troops to there, or we need to invade this other country, or we need to levy more sanctions and threaten military action. He just forgets to tell you that his entire net worth is based on more war. And Scott Gottlieb, this health authority, is exactly the same thing as are most of them that you see on television, including Anthony Fauci, who owns patents on many of these drugs that the FDA and the CDC are pushing on people, vaccines or therapeutics. This is the system we have now. When I come back, I'm going to tell you Mexico's got it more right than the United States. Mexico. You know, that southern neighbor we look down on, that third world country where their citizens are fleeing up here. They have a more intelligent government, probably a more corrupt government. It's a narco-terror state at this point because of the war on drugs. But it was just interesting to me to see that a country is actually going after COVID where it lives. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Somebody called during the break and said, you know, I'm reporting on this guy who had a stroke down on the coast. And they pointed out, yeah, the news is reporting on this Johnson & Johnson that it's only women. It's just seven women. I can't believe I missed that point because I was watching the story going, well, that's interesting. I wonder if he's one of this six or seven nationwide. They tell us there's only six or seven people, you know, extremely rare. And so I was thinking last night, well, I wonder if he's in that group, but caller pointed out, that's right. They've reported those are all women. So this is a guy down on the coast who had a stroke after the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, 43-year-old man, otherwise healthy. High blood pressure is the only thing. He's on high blood pressure medication. Maybe there's some connection there. You know what would have been cool? Is if they had tested this thing on people who had high blood pressure before they rolled it out on everybody. Because I don't know if anybody's noticed, United States got a bit of a blood pressure problem here. So I don't know. We'll see. But I found this really fascinating. Mexico. Listen to what Mexico's doing as a focus against the war on COVID. And then a really sad story about what the United States exports. Since Mexico's government has passed one of the strictest food labeling laws on the planet in October last year, all soft drinks, cans and bottles, bags of chips and other processed food packages must bear the black octagonal labels warning of, quote, excess sugar, excess calories, excess sodium, or excess trans fats. All in big, bold letters that are impossible to miss. Many states have also introduced legislation making it much more difficult for retailers to sell junk food and sugary drinks to children. Now, I'm a libertarian. I believe in education and people make their choices. You're never going to hear me say, as much as I try to get people to eat better and realize the garbage that's in so much of our food, I would never say ban it. I'm not for that. I think you're free to make all kinds of decisions for yourself. But I do believe we've missed a golden opportunity in this country over the past year to tell people, if you have poor health, if you have underlying conditions, you are much more susceptible to this. So you need to start paying attention to diet and exercise, and we need to get our... Mexico's doing that. Mexico is saying, hey, we need to start getting healthier as a country. Little Mexico. Now, the reason is, I would suspect, Mexico's... maybe all of the corruption in Mexico is all drug-based, because the United States has declared this drug war, which means that the cartels make massive amounts of money, courtesy of the American government, that they crowd out all the other lobbyists. So in Mexico, they might not have as many big food lobbyists, soft drink lobbyists, lobbyists that stop. That's the reason that in America, they don't tell you to pay attention to diet. I mean, it's a beautiful system if you are in industry here, in the healthcare, the food industry. Give them a food that's bad for them, that is addictive, and then when they continue to consume that addictive food, they pay that food company more and more money. And then on the pharmaceutical side, because they're addicted to those bad foods, they spend a lot of money on those foods that they are now addicted to, and then we catch them on the backside with all of the chronic underlying health conditions that arise because of the bad diet. It's really a beautiful system. If you're involved in it, for us out here suffering the ill effects of poor diet, not so great. But if you're making money from it, so the reason that Anthony Fauci, the reason that Thomas Dobbs, the reason that all of these people don't mention actually helping your health is because they're beholden to, and they're in a system that really is kind of coexists with a bad diet. The medical establishment makes a lot more money by people being unhealthy. So the last thing they want you to do is take COVID as a wake-up call, improve your health, and not need their drugs, and not need their hospitals, and not need their services. That would be a killer to their industry. So they're going to keep they're going to keep it a secret that you can really pretty much control your COVID outcomes by getting your damn health in shape. They're going to keep that from you, so because they don't want to lose you as a customer when COVID's gone. They don't want a great awakening of people getting into shape and improving their health, because on the backside of that, the medical establishment loses billions of dollars a year. Who wants that? This was interesting. This just shows you what our food system is like in the United States. You know, we're this advanced country, right? The bright, shining city on the hill. We've got all the technology. We've got all the beautiful food. You go into a grocery store, it's just loaded with all kinds of food with pretty labels and colors. It's such a fascinating thing to see. In Mexico, obesity reached epidemic proportions after it joined NAFTA with the United States and Canada in the early 1990s. Making processed food more easily available. Diets quickly changed as many people, particularly those on lower incomes, replaced largely healthy traditional staples like corn tortillas and frijoles and Jamaican water with highly processed alternatives, hot dogs, nuggets, and sodas. Sugar consumption soared and waistlines exploded. In the past 20 years, the number of obese and overweight people has tripled in Mexico, with 75% of the population now overweight. Mexico also has the sixth highest mortality rate from COVID-19, which has spurred the government to escalate its war against obesity. So Mexico joins NAFTA. They got some jobs, but we exported our crap food to them, and their obesity rate tripled, and they led themselves to be susceptible to COVID. The only difference between America and Mexico is that Mexico is acknowledging that problem, and they're going to do something about it. Anthony Fauci is not going to say anything about it. Thomas Dobbs in Mississippi is going to keep quiet on that, because they want to make sure they keep you as a lifelong, chronically ill customer for the rest of your life. COVID, with the money they're going to make off of you and COVID and vaccines and therapeutics and all of these things, that's just the down payment on the rest of your life. They want you sick. It's good business. I'll be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we've got AFPs already in the house with us here with Cade Yates from Americans for Prosperity. Cade, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, man. Glad to be here.
All right, so we've got the Mississippi State Legislature is out. So we're not really talking state legislative stuff now. Tate Reeves still got a few bills on his desk, some that you've worked on and weighed in on. We're still kind of waiting to see. Do you know, I saw just a snippet last night and didn't do any research, that yesterday was the first day of oral arguments in the medical marijuana challenge by Mayor Mary.
Yeah.
I guess they've got cameras in there. Can you watch that live?
Yes, I believe you can. I know there was some video yesterday shot. I know Stephen heard it online. We were kind of sitting around the office desk and it was very interesting to kind of watch the reactions and everything, because I know one of the senior justices was making some arguments that I don't think I would agree with, you know, bringing up, you know, did every individual person read this bill, you know, read all, you know, however many words, 2,500 words or whatever to this.
The legislators themselves don't read the bills they sign.
Exactly. And the thing is that's not even the argument of this case. The argument of this case is the minute details of, you know, five districts versus four districts. And, you know, the problem is bringing that up is just a ridiculous argument to kind of derail the case. And so for us, you know, we're always pushing for, you know, the Supreme Court to focus on the issue and rule on, you know, the validity of, you know, the ballot initiative process needs to be kept secured. And just because you have a difference between four and five districts doesn't mean the will of the people shouldn't be enforced.
Right. And that was a failing of Secretary of State and the legislature going into it. I mean, they should have made the change back. It was in the 90s, wasn't it, when we lost a congressional member?
I think it was the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. I mean, but we've had multiple ballot initiatives since then. And, I mean, we have, I believe it's voter ID and eminent domain would be, you know, in jeopardy if they rule against this. I mean, so for us, I mean, it's absolutely critical that the courts uphold this critical process when the legislature is not doing their job. This is the ability for the people to come out, vote. And that's the thing is, when you read a contract, when you go into a court of law with this contract and they say, you signed this, you don't have to prove that they read every single word.
Right.
You have to just prove that they signed it and they understood they were signing it. And so the people of Mississippi, when they went into the voting box, when they went to the ballot box, they essentially said, we've okayed this. We've sent this in. We have cast our ballot. This is us signing a contract saying we want this.
Right.
And 70% of Mississippians. So, like I said, that argument that he was proposing yesterday just seems irrelevant to me. And we have to focus on the main issue that, you know, despite these mathematical differences, the will of the people should be upheld, because, I mean, 70% of Mississippians completely and totally agree that, you know, debilitating conditions should be able to be treated with medical marijuana.
Yeah. What would be interesting to see, and I hope it's certainly not the case, if Mayor Mary Hawkins was successful in doing this and derailing this, I sure would like to see, when somebody challenges voter ID in Mississippi, in this conservative state, I'd love to see that hung around her neck, because she will be single-handedly responsible for upending voter ID in Mississippi, which is incredibly popular with just about everybody, but particularly Republicans. And some of these Republicans that are cheering for her right now, oh, she's going to derail medical marijuana, she's a hero. Well, you just wait until voter ID is gone from here, too. Yeah. And that should be laid around her neck. I don't know if it actually will or not. Yeah, I need to find out where you can watch that. I'd be pretty fascinated to see. I'd like to see even the oral arguments and stuff. I hope that the
is the Secretary of State the one that's representing the ballot initiative?
I'm trying to remember who's on which side.
Attorney General,
it's either the representative from the Secretary of State's office is representing one side, and the Attorney General should be representing the other side. But like I said, I'm not sure exactly who's representing each side, but I know that the state is having to fight for the ballot initiative process in this. It puts the courts in a very particular place, but I mean, we've kind of seen that, the legislature has no appetite to, have another program or anything else. They want to see the will of the people honored through this ballot initiative process.
Yeah.
And I mean, for us, the ballot initiative process is so important. And so for, the courts to even consider that this being a minute mathematical issue, to derail the whole process of giving people the power to make change. I mean, it's not an easy process. It is not something that you can do overnight.
Cheap.
It is not.
I was very involved in that ballot initiative process, and I was very interested to talk to people from other states who had done things in other states. And when you told them what the ballot initiative process in Mississippi was, they said, "Oh my God, seriously? You have to do all of that?" I mean, we are more. They have made it, and the legislature, it's no mistake.
Yeah.
The legislature has made it more difficult for Mississippians to exercise their voice in Mississippi and get things done than other states. I mean, yeah. We're already really bad here. That four districts would have been easier. I mean, what they're saying should have been done would have actually been easier. So yeah. The campaign actually did the harder thing, the bigger, the bigger push because the laws was not adjusted to lose a congressional seat. So the whole thing is insane on its face. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Did that go through a lower court to arrive at the Supreme Court? I'm not a legal expert.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. I don't remember it ever, being, that she lost in a lower court, which was appealed to the Supreme Court. So it felt like she just, boom, went straight to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's because it's a statewide option, but like I said, I'm not sure, but it didn't seem like it went through any lower courts. But I'm glad that they are hearing it, and I'm glad that, they do have options. I mean, from what I saw, the people on the side of 65, representing 65, seem to do a really great job of kind of getting back on the topic,
right.
Saying, hey, we need to focus on what the actual issue is, not if people read this.
Right.
We've already voted on it. There's nothing that we can change about that. So.
And the funny thing is, with that thing, in Mississippi law, it states every single signature page was actually attached to the full bill.
Yeah.
And every single signature page said, this is attached to the full bill. If you want to read the entire bill, you're welcome to. And it really wasn't even that long.
No.
It was easily understandable.
Yeah, eight pages.
Yeah. And it was actually only I think it was just three legal size pages with legible writing.
Yeah.
And it was understandable. You could look at it. It was not chalked with legalese. It wasn't the 1,200-page bond bill that the state legislature just passed that none of them read.
Yeah.
So, all of the arguments are pretty specious on all of that stuff. I know AFP does a lot of work on, trying to help small businesses and stuff. I thought this was kind of funny just to show you what has happened to this country with the stimulus checks. Have you guys been paying attention to how this has wrecked the labor market for entry-level employees?
I mean, it has killed a lot of the entry-level options. And like I said, I don't know as far as national level what we've been monitoring, but I know it's definitely been wreaking havoc on our economy as far as
entry levels. Here's a story right here. It's an Entrepreneur magazine. McDonald's apologizes for understaffing. Quote, nobody wants to work anymore.
Yeah.
And somebody had put up a sign, obviously a manager at one of these McDonald's places where, let me see if I can get the text of it. It just basically says, please bear with us, have some patience. We've only got the people who did show up. Yeah. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Exactly.
Restaurants are getting decimated by this new socialism of sending out the stimmies. And it's both parties are doing it.
Yep.
Donald Trump signed the extra $300 per week, Benny for unemployed.
Yep.
Joe Biden has continued it. The Republicans passed stimulus checks of $1,206. They passed three bailout bills. Biden has just passed another horrific one. And they are interviewing, we've got, Your Pie, which is an advertiser here at the station, has been struggling to find people. And at first I was thinking, Yeah, well, why can't you find people? It's a great place to work. The staff's nice. Exactly. They're not mining coal. Yeah. And then I just started hearing, oh, I see what's going on. Nobody really wants to get an entry level job. Why would you get off the couch to make less money?
Exactly. I mean, we've seen this over the past few months where, you know, you see, you know, we need help signs. You know, we're hiring signs. And I'm like, guys, what is going on? And you go in the restaurants and you start to sit down. You're like, man, this is taking a while. And, man, why are there only three people working in an entire restaurant?
Yeah, why are all these tables not staffed? Because it's not COVID. You know, they've released those constraints, but they can't staff all the tables.
Exactly. It is government buying people off from going back to work, and it's ridiculous. I mean, we cannot continue this idea that people cannot work for a living. You know, these stimulus checks, the continuing of the unemployment benefits, it's wrecking our economy in unknown ways. I mean, we did not I don't think anybody expected that, you know, you keep giving these things out, that people are not going to go back to work. No, the problem is...
Who could have thunk it?
Exactly. Yeah. So we have to roll back those. We have to get people back to work. Where our economy in Mississippi is opening back up full wide, we need people back to work. And individuals just have to recognize, like, you can't just continue to live off the government. And the problem is, I've already seen articles going, when is the fourth stimulus coming?
Oh, absolutely. It's coming. It is coming. We are moving to some level of a universal basic income.
Yeah.
Here's the real thing that I find just terrifying. As a former, you know, I used to run restaurants. Yeah. I've owned small businesses. What this will end up doing is permanent damage because in order for these restaurants, for these small businesses to get people back to work, they've got to raise their wages to address this specific problem. But when, let's just say they ever did end the stimmies and it did end the juiced up unemployment, what are you going to go to your employees and go, oh, okay, I got to reduce your pay by 25% because now, or they're going to fire all of the people that actually did come to work for the higher pay so they can go back to, you know, it is a train wreck for these small businesses that have already had the government put their boot on their throat for a year. This will alter their, and here's the dirty little secret to everybody who doesn't run a business or doesn't own a small restaurant. They're going to pass all of those increased labor costs on to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same thing that we're going to see with, you know, requiring raising of the minimum wage nationally. You know, we're going to see some crazy stuff come out of the administration over the next few years that's just going to amplify the damage that's been done, not by COVID, but by the incompetence of our government that continuously push down top-down approaches for, you know, bottom-up solutions where it could be, you know, let's get people back to work. Let's get people off the couch and back into a society where they earn their paycheck and know the worth of a dollar, you know, to go out and be an active member of society.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, the federal government helped break up families. If they can break up businesses and keep people from being just sitting around in fatherless homes sounds like a great recipe for a thriving thriving nation going forward. All right. Well, we wanted to talk. We're talking to Cade Yates here from Americans for Prosperity. And when we come back, we're going to look at some of the things they're focusing on nationally right now. The horrible things going on in D.C. are always a topic on this show. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we've got Cade Yates in with us for Americans for Prosperity. Stephen Utroska is usually in with us, but he is out attending to other things. So Cade has come in to tell us about what AFP is doing nationally. What is I know AFP is, they're not partisan. They are really just completely focused issue-wise.
Yeah.
Do they even consider themselves, because what they usually target are things that I like as a libertarian. Do they consider themselves a libertarian-leaning organization, or do they apply no political labels whatsoever? They're just about freedom and prosperity.
Yeah, no, we really try to stay away from all political labeling as far as that. You know, obviously we're nonpartisan, we're a nonprofit organization. For us, we are an issue-based advocacy group that is focused on grassroots organization. And so getting individuals on the local level involved, but also being community builders, you know, bringing in people that have years of experience, you know, whether it's criminal justice reform, whether it's taxes and spending, whether it's healthcare, bringing in people that have vested interests in these issues, such as in healthcare, we brought in doctors who want to open up clinics, and then, you know, certificate of need laws stand in the way of that. And so we build those communities around those issues with, you know, actual experts in their field and bring those together. And that's a nationwide item, a nationwide, you know, piece that we work on. Plus, we do have an HQ in, in D.C. that have, you know, people on the Hill. And we are, again, I think Stephen alludes to this all the time. We do have lobbyists, and we have, you know, Stephen's lobbyist here, and that word's been tainted a lot, but we are not a special interest group lobbyist who are paid by the highest bidder. We are a people advocacy group that are focused on the issues of limited government, getting government out of the way, and reducing barriers that stand in the way of individuals achieving their true American dream. So,
yeah, and I mean, it's almost a joke where you look at the defense lobbyists, you look at the pharmaceutical lobbyists, you look at all these other lobbyists, and you just think, boy, if only the people had a lobbyist too. And that's kind of what y'all do.
Now, exactly.
You might not represent people who just love the government and they want them more involved in things, but for a vast swath of people. I mean, it's, you know, it's tens of millions, 100 million people in this country who really want the government, realizes that the government is lost and corrupt and want them out of your life. You're kind of that unpaid group of people that are actually advocating for that stuff. And that's the only reason you're on here. God knows, absolutely. I would not have a real lobbyist in this show.
Well, and that's, and I mean, I have to say, like, for us, it's the individual that looks at their paycheck every month, looks at how much money is taken out every single month by the federal government and goes, where's that going to? I mean, why are they even taking it? You mentioned it earlier. Why are they even taking it?
Well, they gave us an extra month this year before you have to file. Is that not a loving enough gesture from our federal government? I mean, it is seriously like to me. I'm a radical on this issue, but it is like a guy starts kicking in your door and you go, oh, my God, someone's kicking. They're about to break into my house. And they go, forget it. We'll be back next month. And you go, oh, okay, great. Thanks.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to do anything to stop them. They'll be back next month. I know they're going to break in next month and take my stuff, but at least I've got a month until they come back in. So
exactly.
Yeah. All right. So what, as a national group, now that state legislature here has closed, and I guess in every state their legislative terms and processes are different. So some of your state are still working with their legislatures, but here we're pretty much wrapped up. What are y'all looking at on the federal level?
Absolutely. So we've got really three main issues that we've been working on, which is the PRO Act, which is essentially the elimination of right-to-work laws and elimination of independent contractors. Then next, we're working on the infrastructure bill, you know, trying to defeat that, the $2 trillion, $3 trillion, I think it's $2 trillion, that it's not even really for roads. It's for pet projects that the feds kind of just labeled into this infrastructure bill. And then H.R. 1 and S. 1, which are direct violation of privacy of individual people who want to give their money to organizations or align with organizations, and their private information could be published and that could lead to intimidation. So just a really big issues. Unfortunately, you know, we've been kind of, or not AFP, but Americans have been dormant over the past 4 years. And, you know, since Obama left office, it's been one of those things where it's been hard to get people, you know, fired up about issues on the federal level. You know, it's time for people to get up, get off the couch. You know, they can contact me, go to AFPMississippi.com or AFP Mississippi on Facebook, get in contact with us. We can get you in on these federal issues and fight those. But you know,
I feel like people stood down during Donald Trump. I've said it here for the longest time. I think that they just thought, oh, look at that. We did our job. We elected this guy. He's our savior. He's going to do everything. And I've just watched as we've gone more and more government control. The government's gotten bigger and bigger. We have gone on and in the final year to what is, I mean, with this UBI, this extra, the STEMIs and all that stuff. I mean, it's just full on socialism. And every Republican who votes for Trump still points at Biden. And I say, well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Biden is absolutely horrible. No argument with me there. But you just sat around for 4 years twisting logic to say that everything Donald Trump did was just fantastic. And no, he ushered in a lot of things during his tenure that normally conservatives would be up against. I saw the same thing during Barack Obama's term. You know, the left was good on anti-war stuff during the Bush administration. I mean, they went out, they marched, they talked against the wars, all that stuff. Then all of a sudden, Obama comes in. Yep. He launches new wars. He's the drone king. He's just killing innocent people halfway around the world, and the left just crickets.
Exactly.
They just don't care. And I think Trump did that to a lot of conservatives on some of these issues. Okay, I want to take a break, and I want to talk about this PRO Act.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big chunk of my life has been self-employed contract work for people, and there's a tremendous advantage to Americans who want control of how much they're taxed. You can actually make some decisions for yourself. Yeah. It's a freedom thing, and it helps employers, too. It makes hiring somebody easier to be able to hire a contractor. So any attack on that is of extreme interest to me, so it better be interesting to everybody else. Yeah. I'll be right back. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back talking to Cade Yates here from Americans for Prosperity. All right, Cade, I want to start in this, what's it called? The PRO Act.
Yeah.
PRO Act. So this is targeting people who make 1099 or independent contractor wages. There are so many benefits to people who work as independent contractors. Number one, it's what I've largely done most of my working life. I've either owned businesses and taken 1099 income from a business as an owner or as a contract work somewhere. I can control, I can run expenses that are legitimate expenses through my business to reduce my taxable. You just have a ton of control as opposed to a W-2 person who you just wait till Friday and you look at your check and you just go, oh, crap, they took it again.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, you got no control on what they take. So 1099, you got a lot of control over what you can do. For the employer, they don't have to pay payroll taxes on you. They don't have to set you up. They don't have to provide you with benefits if they can't afford them. And the thing is the free market solves that. Some people, particularly on the left, would go, I know, see, they're not giving them health care. Well, I mean, if they wanted to give health care, they might attract some of the best people to do those services by saying, hey, we're going to 1099 you and give you health care. So it's not like it prohibits a company from providing them any benefit, car allowance or anything else. But it makes it easier for an employer to hire more people. And in an economy that they're constantly screaming about job creation, infrastructure creates jobs, this creates jobs, this 1099 work creates jobs because it takes a lot of the onus off of employers. So it is a win for the employee and a win for the employer. So who in the hell is coming out and saying that that's a problem and trying to fix it?
Yeah. So these are these crony politicians from D.C. that, you know, last month, the House of Representatives passed this, you know, this PRO Act, where it's a partisan goodie bag of regulations and essentially giving labor unions this ridiculous amount of power.
The unions.
Yeah, I mean, this bill, just to kind of get off on a side note, would essentially require your information to be given to unions. So, like, a publicly available database of your information, so intimidation can happen and will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, unfortunately, with unions all over the place, and I mean, unions don't do anything these days. I mean, most of them just take the money, and then as soon as the business closes down, they're out the door. So, I mean, and again, this just puts more on the people. And some of the facts on independent contractors, I mean, 36% of Americans are freelancers.
And then a lot of people on the left, I mean, you look at California, how many people out in California are driving for Uber or doing the side hustle is the that is what gets millennials probably through their life.
Exactly. I mean, college students, you've got gig workers, you've got anybody that's essentially being their own boss, being able to earn money on the side, or just having control over their lifestyle. As far as, 59 million Americans do rely on this freelance work. And that's mothers who want to be at home with their children, that want to set their own schedule. That's, you who want to have freedom to switch between jobs. We actually have a gentleman out in California who, because this bill kind of formed out of AB5 out of California, who has seen over the past year what AB5 did to his business.
And AB5 was the rule, was the what they tried to, did they pass it in California?
Yeah, they did pass it.
And it was attacking 1099 workers.
Yep.
And essentially the way it's couched, as my understanding and following it, is this is a bunch of liberals and Democrats saying, we just love Uber drivers so much that we want to force Uber to pay them as an employee, provide them with all of these benefits. Quite obviously, it's just so obvious to go, well, Uber's not going to do that. I mean,
exactly.
That's going to cost the employee more. Uber will figure a way around this, or they'll shut up shop and there just will be no Uber in California.
Exactly. And that's what the PRO Act is doing. It's forcing businesses to essentially honor a contract either all year long. I believe it's all year long. That's offering health care and workers' compensation. And, on the surface, that sounds great. But at the end of the day, those businesses will close up. Those businesses will suffer. And like I was mentioning, this dance studio owner has been in business for 30 years, a trained dancer who has been around the world, who has even had, unfortunately, contracts from the Defense Department to go around the world to, spread, culture or something like that. But but the whole thing is, this guy has been in business for such a long time. And then now he's like, if I have to honor this law, I'll be out of business by the end of the year. And so, I mean, it's just crazy the fact that, people that have been in business for 30 years would be out of business. And in Mississippi, it would kill thousands of jobs, if not more, tens of thousands of jobs of independent contractors. I mean,
Who is calling for this at the citizen level? I mean, I can understand. So the unions, they definitely want this.
Yes, the unions.
But they've been shrinking over decades and decades. This is always interesting to me about the Democrats these days. They do big things for very small groups. And
exactly.
I never quite understand the political strategy of that. What is the political advantage to really being at the forefront of trying to get transgender kids into opposite sex sports? I mean, maybe as a compassion issue, you can say, well, I wish that would happen. But the numbers are microscopic of where that is an issue. But they lead the charge on that. And so they're going to lead the charge on union issues as unions go further and further down. I never understand that strategy.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, I think this is where this is coming from are people that generally do have a passion for people and do want to have, compassion of like, oh, people need health care, people need better wages. But at the end of the day, top-down government solutions are never the option, never the solution when it comes down to allowing people to have more money in their pocket, more options for healthcare. Because I know the AFP is also working on like healthcare issues where we want to lower the cost of healthcare by increasing the options out there. And so freelance workers are not going to be in this state where they just can't receive healthcare. That's where they can go out and find a private, either Medishare or, any other option where healthcare can be bought from actual, insurance companies. So,
well, and the fact that health insurance is so expensive right now because the government screwed it up in the first place. I mean, they're trying to fix their own, the problem they caused before with a new problem. And, so you talk about the dance instructor who's been in business for 30 years and they just shut him down. And this is what I just hate about the helplessness of Americans is we suffer these kinds of indignities and attacks by our own government constantly, yet everybody just yawns about it. It's no big deal. But they love to talk about the political theater of Washington, D.C. Yeah. It's all Biden's fault. Yeah. It's all Trump's fault. He's a Nazi. When it just happens, administration after administration, Congress after Congress. But the other thing is, if that guy with the dance studio were to retool his business to adhere to these new laws and not hire, he is going to, number one, he's going to reduce the pay of his instructors. Yep. He'll have to, so they'll make less money. He will reduce the number that he hires. Yep. And if it still costs him more money, he will raise the price to the consumer. So exactly. This is all borne out by the consumers and the workers themselves. And these politicians will not explain that to their people. Everybody thinks that they're just getting something for free.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing is this is not just that one guy. This is truck drivers, fitness instructors, artists, construction workers, healthcare workers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
The gig economy is bigger than it's ever been.
Exactly. I mean, this economy is so huge. And unfortunately, one of our policy analysts from our senior HQ office reported that 17 million Americans, 30% of freelancers, that was a different one. Essentially, what this would do is it would kill millions of jobs nationwide. I mean, we talked about earlier, 59 million Americans do freelance work. This would essentially take that number down to minimal options. And then they come back in with UBI. They come back in with stimulus. Right. They come back in with government assistance, putting people on the dole. And so this is not the way to do things. And so we stand firmly against the PRO Act. And, you know, you can learn more by going to AmericansProsperity.com, and you can look up the PRO Act. And FlexYourIndependence.com is actually an option as well, where you can see some of these stories. And so, like I said, that's the PRO Act in itself is, you know, it's going to, as kind of a wrap up, it's going to put ridiculous regulations on businesses. It's going to shut down businesses. It's going to release your private information to unions. And it's just a terrible bill. And it's, like I said, it's top down approach for politicians to cater to small groups that just are trying to hold on to power that they've lost over the years.
Is there any way, I've talked to Stephen about this all through the legislative session, knowing that with Biden in office, we're going to see more pushes towards gun control. You see states around the country that are passing their own laws, essentially declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuary states, you know, to push back. I was really surprised Mississippi has done nothing about that whatsoever. But can states do anything to say, if they were to increase the federal minimum wage, can a state say, no, we're not going to impose that on our citizens, the same way they can say we're not going to impose federal gun laws? Could they say, no, we're not going to force our – because you want to talk about a boon for Mississippi. It almost makes you want them to pass this thing, because if Mississippi could stand up and say, we allow freelancers in our state, you can come open your business here and pay 1099 workers, and we love it. You know what I mean? That would be a huge boost to any state that stood up against it. But do they have any ability to buck those federal laws?
The problem is all day long we can say that they do have that power to kind of say we're not going to do this, but unfortunately Mississippi is so deep on the government dole that as soon as they do buck the system, the feds will say, you know, we will pull your funding. We have $20 billion that come from the feds every year. That's a huge chunk of what comes to Mississippi.
Yeah.
Until Mississippi is willing to give that up, because, you know, AFP does not work on gun issues, but, you know, one of the things that kind of came up with the red flag laws was, I mean, it's kind of an incentive saying, if you do not pass red flag laws, your federal funding will be affected. So if they'll do that in red flag laws, they will do that on any other policy that is not enforced.
Yeah. They did it on speed limits. They did it on drinking ages.
Yeah. And so for federal policy, you know, it will definitely come down to the state will have to stand up, but the state will also have to have a backbone as soon as the feds go, well, you're just not going to get funding out of this. You're not going to get the funding. We're going to cut your funding.
Right. So. Well, I think this comes up just about every show because it's a passionate topic of mine. I hate hypocrisy.
Yep.
And in Mississippi, I hear an awful lot of people saying, we don't want to bail out the blue states. I don't want to bail out New York. And I understand that. Yep. I'm right with them. But let's be a little real. We get bailed out every single year. And this is in a red state. I mean, a lockstep Republican-run state. And decade after decade after decade, we continue to be welfare recipients here. Yeah. And the fact that Mississippi Republicans, total control of the legislature, the governor's mansion the majority of the time, cannot figure out a way to make Mississippi self-sustaining so we're not vulnerable to these things, shows you how either ineffective or just corrupt the Republicans in this state are, that they're just establishment players. And so I just encourage people, because I rail so much against the two-party system, Joe Biden's not your only problem. I mean, we have got to get our own people in line. And you're right, Mississippi is so vulnerable to being essentially blackmailed because we're such a welfare state.
Exactly. And that's one of the things, like, I've always aspired to run for higher office and, you know, maybe go to the federal level and do all that. And so for me, every time I talk about that, everybody says, well, you know, are you prepared to send money back to Mississippi? Kind of like our senators and representatives have talked about for years. And I'm like, that is the hardest part that I've ever faced, is looking at people and going, I don't want to just fight and send money back. And, you know, that is not our money to just keep sending right. back to Mississippi. Like, fighting over the scraps of the table over the defense contractors and all the other stuff that the feds just throw money out on. And so for us, for me, you know, it's one of those things where we just have to look at ourselves and go, have an honest conversation and say, we have to get off the government dole. Because every Republican, and again, we're nonpartisan, every Republican always rails against welfare. Well, it's time to get Mississippi off the federal welfare.
Exactly.
And make us an independent state of, you know, a place where people can open up their businesses, live freely, and not be afraid of things like the PRO Act, where your information will be publicly available for intimidation to happen.
Well, and right now we see that we've got this medical marijuana thing that Mississippians are overwhelming in favor of, that is poised within the next few months to weeks to start a brand new industry and open up huge opportunities for Mississippians. And you've got this Republican, Mary Hawkins, with the support of other Republicans, establishment people, trying to crush this new industry coming to Mississippi, which just assures we're going to continue to be a welfare state because we will not allow, you know, a new industry in the state.
Absolutely. It's absolutely
crazy. Absolutely so. Crazy. All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk about some of these other things the AFP is working on nationally. That's Americans for Prosperity. Here with Cade Yates. Stay with us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're here with Cade Yates from Americans for Prosperity, looking at some of these. I mean, this is, you know, this is kind of what political talk radio is about when it comes to national issues and the horribleness of the Biden campaign. And it is terrifying. I am not a partisan guy. I'm an observer of the system. But it sends a shiver up my spine, too, when you realize you've got a Democrat House, a Democrat Senate, and a Democrat. And even now, it's so much scarier now than you're a much younger guy than I am, but it's scarier than in the 90s when Bill Clinton had it. There was, you know, it was still slimy. Bill Clinton was still gross. I didn't like him, but there was, there were like Tom Daschle and some of these old political players. You could just tell that they were corrupt kind of scumbags, but they weren't insane. Yeah. You know, it was kind of a more calm grift they were running. Yeah. And now the left has just lost their mind. So, incredibly on so many issues that having Democrats in charge of everything is a bit terrifying, I must say. So what other harebrained ideas have they got going on that y'all are opposing?
Yeah, so the next one would be like the infrastructure bill, which as I mentioned earlier, I think is coming out, it's $2 million. But, you know, once
did you say million?
$2 trillion, excuse me, $2 trillion. I'd always do that. And then
you were two consonants off.
Exactly.
Million used to be a lot to have, and then a billion was a lot to have, and now a trillion. And I would say we're 4 to 5 years from quadrillion being just a normal term that people use to make trillion seem small. Yeah.
But this bill starts out, I believe, at around $2 trillion, but it can get up to $4 trillion once everything is added in, I mean, this is crazy. And what this would do is it would, one, reverse some of the components of, you know, the Trump tax cuts and the Job Act and, you know, which did help bring in a few things, the higher wages and a little bit more jobs. You know, this, the biggest thing would be tax increases. You know, this was the bill that some of these billionaires came out and were like, we'll pay our fair share. And at the end of the day, we know they're going to find a way around it.
Absolutely.
So
they never get, I mean, I don't know how many times you have to tell a Democrat, do you understand that under Barack Obama, GE reported paying zero or 1 year they paid 3% in taxes. They do not pay these taxes. It is tricking you when they say they're going to raise these rates. It's not a trick for the small to medium-sized businesses, yeah, they are going to get screwed.
Exactly.
And they are the biggest employers in this country.
Exactly. And another piece of this, and it's the underhandedness of D.C., where the PRO Act, if the PRO Act doesn't pass, the bill we were just talking about, this bill would actually take many of the pieces of the elements of the PRO Act and implement it under this. So they've got backup plans for if the PRO Act doesn't pass, is this would bring in pieces of the PRO Act and add in those harmful changes from the PRO Act into this. And so they've got layers on layers of protection where if one fails, they'll get it through another way. It yeah. is just underhanded. And like I said, that would be unions, that would be restricting the amount of 1099. I mean, just so many things. Go ahead.
Well, one thing that I found is interesting in the debate over the infrastructure bill is that we've gotten to a point where I think it's Dave Smith, or I can't remember who said this. It might have been Tom Woods, said that Republicans are just Democrats driving the speed limit. It's like the Democrats are trying to take us over the cliff at 90 miles an hour. The Republicans are just going, they're going 70 or 65 to get us over the cliff. The Republicans have suddenly found a spine on the spending, and they're right. The infrastructure bill is horrible. It's yeah. overpriced. It's wasteful. It has nothing to do with infrastructure in large parts of the bill. But I did hear him the other day going, Mitch McConnell saying, well, we've got no problems giving them $900 billion. I mean, it's just amazing. When there was a $600 billion bailout bill back in 2008, there was a lot of outrage about that
yeah.
amount of money. And the Republicans now, after already passing, we're at $4 trillion of stimulus supposedly already, they're just going, oh, well, we'll give them $900 billion. Yeah. So that's where the Democrats if we ask for $2 trillion, they're going to give us $900 billion.
Yeah.
So if
just
we want $900 billion, just ask for $2 trillion instead of the Republicans just saying, and where the hell hasn't infrastructure always been funded through gas taxes, through property taxes, through all of these taxes we've paid? The fact that they'd never address these infrastructure issues and then bring it up like, oh my, it's an emergency situation. But they'd accept no criticism for the fact that, well, we gave you money to take care of this stuff for the past, 100 years. What you been doing with that money?
Exactly. I mean, the accountability on these dollars is out the window. There is nothing. And on top of that, just 2 years ago, we were fighting a 25-cent increase on federal gas tax. So the fact that we were still fighting them raising taxes, even though now they're coming out with this, I mean, they will never be satisfied with the amount of money they get. They will we will never be in a place until somebody actually finally puts a stop to this where we're like, where does every dollar go? And it's impossible. Honestly, I hate to say it. I think it's impossible. And so that's why we fight so hard against these is because we cannot just keep just throwing money deep in this hole and expecting it to come back out. It just gets suckled out the bottom I don't even know if it comes out of bottom. I mean,
it comes out the top is where it's coming out. It is coming out to the point. I mean, when you look at what has happened to the billionaire donor corporate class, and that may sound lefty to some people, but I think most people are kind of catching on, particularly the wokeness of the corporations now. But when you look at J.P. Morgan's, have you looked at bank earnings over the past – this is bank earnings week on Wall Street. J.P. Morgan crushed it. Goldman Sachs crushed it. Bank of America crushed it. What was interesting is Wells Fargo, who was a criminal to their own selves, I mean, in a lot of things they've done. No disrespect to anybody who works in a Wells Fargo branch. That's not their fault. But, they've been caught doing a lot of things unethical over the past several years. But Wells Fargo is more of instead of a Wall Street bank, they're known to be a little bit more of a Main Street bank.
Yeah.
Their earnings are not going well. They did not have a good quarter. And that is just, that is so illustrative of where this money is going. It is going to these mega money center globalist organizations. This 0.01% is where all this money is going.
Yeah. And the thing is, you have to make it, I mean, I want to make a clear distinction between capitalism, which is good, and then crony capitalism, which that is.
Right.
And these ridiculous ways that government are picking winners and losers and cycling money into these corporations and into these people that have relied on extreme government control to make themselves wealthy.
And both parties do it. That's the fascinating thing to see, that Republicans and Democrats, neighbors will yell at each other because one of them thinks Trump's a Nazi and hates everything he does, and the other one thinks Biden is a doddering old fool and he's a socialist and they hate everything he does. Both parties do this stuff. Both parties are responsible for zero interest rates. Both parties are responsible for all of these, for not spending the money the way they should have on infrastructure. Both parties are responsible for all these things. But boy, they have tricked us into this. The other party's the problem, not our party. If we just get more of our guys in, it'll be fixed. Yeah. And we're just not paying attention. But it's so easy to see when you take off the shaded glasses.
Exactly. And, I mean, just to finish up on the infrastructure bill, you know, this – finally, I mean, some of the things on this, it'd be implementing elements of the Green New Deal.
Yeah, right.
And so they couldn't get it through because Americans know the Green New Deal was a terrible, terrible policy idea and would never be able to do anything that they actually wanted to do other than funnel money to the right places and to their friends and pick winners and losers and harm everyday Americans. And so this is again, they couldn't get that through. This is the bill they're going to push that through, and if the PRO Act didn't get through, it's going to push this through. So it's just ridiculous that they're using that. So,
and that's another thing about the Democrats I don't understand. You know, talk about them catering to these small sliver groups. If you look at almost any poll taken over the last 20, 25 years, and they ask, what's the biggest problem facing you, your family, the United States, climate change, those kinds of things, it comes in as like 25th.
Yeah.
It's never anybody's top concern, yet somehow the Democrats are at the forefront of this and are going to push it through no matter what and screw over their own constituency, but the constituency keeps voting for them. It's the weirdest thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, this bill is, I mean, it's spending trillions of dollars on unrelated, unnecessary, and just frivolous spending. I mean, it's, so none of this is actually, I mean, hardly any of it is going to fix roads or anything like that. It's going to pet projects. It's going to implement things that they couldn't get passed or things that they might not get passed. And, you know, for us, we are not an organization that just points out the bad stuff. You know, for us, we want to refine, we want to reform federal spending. We want to find out where the money is going and actually send it to the right place and do the things that are good. But the problem is right now it's kind of hard when you're like, I don't trust, when you see this bill and you see what they're trying to slip in, I just don't see there's any way to redeem this bill. And so that's why we're against it.
Yeah.
So it's just been one of those things. And for us, you know, we want to return power to the states. We want to return responsibility to the states. That's the problem is we've lost all responsibility on the state level to be like, oh, all this federal money's coming, all this federal money's coming in. Well, that money will run out. I mean, we make this argument with pretty much any federal program like Medicaid and infrastructure and anything like that, is this money will eventually run out and you cannot rely on it. And so with us, we continuously push to eliminate cost, eliminate these ridiculous programs that don't actually do anything, and to return responsibility to the states where they choose what is best, what roads actually need to be fixed, how they need to be fixed, and then actually reform the spending of those dollars through contract reform. So
good luck on that.
I know. We are fighting an uphill battle, and man, it is rain and it is muddy. I mean, oh my goodness.
It always cracks me up. I see these groups that are up in D.C., and I'll quote something from their story, and they're right. I love them for what they're doing, but there'll be groups that are called something like the Center for Responsible Budget Spending or something like that. I think, wow, is there a more frustrating is there a job in the country that shows fewer results than being in one of these groups? And they're well-intentioned, and we need people out there fighting that fight because, you know, eventually we're going to pay the price for it. I think the problem is, in the United States, we have not paid the price for these things yet.
Yeah.
We have slowly, but people don't understand that wealth inequality is a response of all of this new debt.
Yeah.
They don't understand that declining wages is a consequence of this thing because it just happened slowly over 40 years, and we've given up a lot of the middle class over 40 years. But people don't understand how to attach that to government policies, and so it just slowly happens. But at some point, it's going to go from slowly to fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And then people are going to go, wait a second. The problem is the same stupid thinking that got us to that point where we actually break, we're going to leave those stupid people in charge, both Republicans and Democrats who got us in this mess, will garner power from this collapse or the problem, and they will convince these same people that they've got the answer. We've seen that with COVID, with everything else. So that's the danger of American thinking that we need to free ourselves from. All right, got a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up on federal stuff with American for Prosperity and Cade Yates. Stay with us.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment. We're talking to Americans for Prosperity. Cade Yates is in to talk about the national bills that Americans for Prosperity are fighting. Cade, I hadn't left us a ton of time at the end of the hour because I've been running my mouth, but tell us about these last couple things, particularly H.R. 1.
Yeah, H.R. 1 and S.1. Just to be clear, H.R. 1 would essentially regulate the ways that people use their dollars to support organizations and support groups and issues. And so what it would do is it would essentially create a government database of if you donate to a campaign that essentially acts in campaign, you know, contributions and working in electing individuals, it would publish your data for all of the world to see. And with that comes the newly found mob culture in America, where if you support a candidate, if you support ideas that people don't support, they will come to your house, they will protest out in front of your house, they will find you in restaurants, stick their fingers in your food, chase you down the street. You know, this is mob culture mentality, and unfortunately, this comes from a historical standpoint where we saw this kind of happen several years ago. Or in 1958, I believe, where the Supreme Court ruled that the state of Alabama cannot have the NAACP's records for who their supporters are and who their members are, because if they did, you know, the free speech of individuals to work with an organization, those people would be in danger. And so what H.R. 1 and S.1 will do is, like I said, publish your private information and eliminate this free speech haven, where if you want to donate to an organization, if you want to be politically active with a group that you agree with, and you want that to be private, this bill would do away with your privacy rights to that and essentially make you a public target for intimidation.
Well, that is the whole purpose of having secret ballots in the United States. And this basically just says, I mean, you might as well just put everybody's voting records online so everybody knows who votes for who, and so you can parse through that. I mean, that's so easily demonstrably bad, but that was H.R. 1 and S.1, very first things they introduced when they came into Congress.
Exactly, because what they're trying to do, what they said they're trying to do, is reform the election system and make sure there's no interference in elections, and this does nothing to address that. This is individually attacking the First Amendment rights of every American. And like you said, we have private ballot boxes. We deserve private, the ability to have a private free speech option to where we support issues and get behind issues that we care about and not have the fear of government intimidation or for intimidation of anybody outside that. And so it is just insane that they are policing speech. Plus, this does go further in, you know, ads, you know, how you send out political ads, how you do anything online. I mean, the depth of this bill is too far to go into right now. But, I mean, the crazy part is it's called For the People Act. And this, oh my goodness, it does not do anything but trample on the rights of the First Amendment rights of individuals to associate freely with groups that they choose to. And for people that don't believe that donor disclosure is a huge issue, every Sunday, thousands of Mississippians give money to their churches. You know, thousands of Mississippians choose to give to charities and to individual issue groups that they care about. And when that comes out, would you be afraid for your life if somebody found out that you were supporting pro-life or pro-gun issue groups like us that we don't even get involved in those issues? But for us, we get involved in the issues that you know matter on the side of limited government. And if people were to target you, fire you from your job, come to your house, that is just not the American way. And so this is not For the People Act.
And it's so demonstrable, particularly in Mississippi, which is a red state. And you can imagine there's a lot of conservative business owners in Mississippi. Yep. If you're on the left, your party is trying to get a system in place place where if you wanted to donate, as and you may not be popular in your office, you may be the lone Democrat in a very conservative company, they're going to root you out. They're going to find out you gave to Hillary 2016. Yeah. And as soon as they do, they're going to harass you until you quit, or they're just going to outright fire you. And so it's demonstrably bad for the people. Exactly. I only got a couple minutes left. Are any of these things going to pass? And do you do we know if the Republicans are going to strike bargains on these things? Because it almost seems like we always take, you know, the left tries to take two steps forward. The Republicans bring them back to just one step forward, but they don't bring it back all the way to zero or backwards. You know, they just kind of rein them in a little bit. Anything these things going to pass?
Unfortunately, you know, the PRO Act, I don't see it being passing, but we don't know. It's up in the air. It depends on where the senator from West Virginia lands and where some of these on-the-fence Democrats land on voting, and where, you know, some of these wildcat, you know, guys like Mitt Romney, where they'll land on this. So that one's up in the air. When it comes down to the infrastructure bill, we've already talked about it, unfortunately. Mitch McConnell's willing to deal, willing to come across. It just depends on if they're willing to put in the PRO Act stuff and the Green New Deal stuff and all the things that are going to really harm these. But with HR 1 and S 1, I will say, I think there's a little bit of hope. We did a live stream yesterday. You can catch it on our Facebook page at Americans Prosperity Mississippi on Facebook with Senator Roger Wicker, even though we don't always agree with him on everything. It was really good to have some hope from him that said, there are some Democrats that are obviously saying this is a bad piece of legislation and they're willing to stand up against it.
Yeah, well, that's good. So, all right, real quick, we've got about 30 seconds left. How do people reach out to y'all, get involved with Americans for Prosperity?
Yeah, just reach out to us on Facebook again, Americans for Prosperity Mississippi. Send us a personal message, or you can look me up online on our private group. You can add us there at AFP Mississippi Activists to kind of join in and be part of the conversation. So we're so excited to have people join us. So
yeah, well, we have some good events each month too. We had a good one the other night, and some listeners came out to the organization. So you'll have them each month. We'll make sure we keep people up with that. All right, thanks. We've been talking to Cade Yates, Americans for Prosperity. That's all the time we got. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.